Time now for our Tuesday morning conversation, and at 8:15, that means we chat with Congressman Fred Upton from his offices in Washington. Fred, good morning. I hope you are well, sir.
Good morning to you. I is.
Mary Ellen will be joining us with our little chat today, a few things that are going on. First of all, we've been, and the nation continues to talk about the circumstances that happened, you know, a day and a half ago in Orlando, and the ramifications of which, and I sort of mentioned this with Pete Hoekstra when I chatted with the former congressman yesterday, and I want to get your take on maybe an observation from this corner. In 2001, when 9/11 came about, this nation sort of gelled together and rallied around the flag, for lack of a better term, and I just don't see that now. I see splintering. I see people trying to work together on this, but for more than anything else, especially in the, you know, in the first few days of this, we're getting more apart instead of going together on a tragedy such as this.
Well, let's face it, a couple of things. The dust hasn't cleared yet. I mean, we're all just stunned. I mean, I watched this morning some of the survivors and friends of the survivors talking on some of the news shows, and it's so tragic. Yeah, it really is. And you know, there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet. I think, you know, we did have a very solid moment of silence yesterday in remembrance of those that were killed, and hopefully it's the death count doesn't go any higher. And a good report this morning shows that they expect, I think, all the ones that are in the hospital to maybe survive, which is a good thing. We're having a classified bipartisan briefing today. The head of the FBI is coming in. He's going to be taking a lot of questions. I'm sure that they'll be thoughtful. There's not going to be any screaming. But, you know, how did someone get in to this establishment carrying the weapons that he had? He was apparently a security officer, so he had access to being able to purchase guns and did so in the last couple of weeks. But what did transpire in those two interviews that he had back in, 2011 and 2012? What questions were raised? Apparently his former wife talked about spousal abuse. I mean, these are, you know, I don't know that we all know the answers to this, but what is it that we can learn from this, and how did he escape to be able to purchase these weapons to create such carnage in this community? And once we learn from that, then I think we'll have a better idea to move forward. But, you know, as I talk to my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, we're just stunned. I mean, I saw the news initially, I guess you could actually say it was very early Sunday morning. And then a few hours later, when the count jumped to, you know, when I first saw the headline of 20 people killed, and then 50, I'm like, holy cow! You know, how is this happening?
Your thoughts on President Obama's response?
Well, I know that he's going to be there later this week. I don't have any criticism of you know, the idea that he was responsible for this. No, that's not the case. I know that he's going to be he's going to Orlando later this week. It's always a very tough time for any president to visit with family members of those that have been killed in a tragedy like this. It's a little bit too early. It does look like, at least trying to connect some early dots, and they're not all connected yet, that it is that this guy did go to Saudi Arabia twice. You know, what type of contacts did he have there? You know, new developments this morning show that he was probably a patron at this particular club, maybe a dozen or more times. So, you know, there's a lot to learn, and you shouldn't have a knee-jerk reaction. But certainly that he's responsible for this, no, that's just crazy.
One other thing, and then we'll move on to some other topics, Fred, is the fact that it seems like there's two things that need to be kept in mind. One, could this have been a situation that could not have been prevented because of the fact that, you know, we can't really get into the mind. And the FBI chief said it best, you know, we're looking for a needle in a haystack that might be impossible of second to find. And then the second thing, more than anything else, is, you know, when do we have to sort of draw the line between protecting ourselves and robbing some of the freedoms we have as a nation in the sake of defending ourselves or protecting ourselves?
Well, and that's, I mean, those questions I think will be answered to a degree. They'll certainly be posed to the FBI director today when he comes up to Capitol Hill. But, you know, what was it that prompted this fellow to be interviewed twice? What did they learn? What did he say? What were the questions that were asked? What was the type of follow-up? How many people, how many others like this guy have been interviewed? You know, it's going to take some time to get through all this, but we want our individual liberties to be protected. I mean, you look at the folks that were at the Pulse. No one was expecting some outrage like this. You saw in the last day or so, the individual arrested from Southern Indiana on his way to California to maybe attack a gay pride event there in California with early reports weapons, a couple of explosive devices. It's a lot of work has to be done. And there's, you know, Pete Hoekstra and myself, I mean, I remember that together we were on the House steps on 9/11 back in 2001. Terrorists have to be right once. We have to be right 100% to try and stop some of this junk. And it's a real tragedy. It really is. And we need a thoughtful process to get through it.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton, our Tuesday morning conversation on 1450 WHTC. A couple of other things that are going on involving you. Chemical safety legislation. You and the Speaker will be trying to get that to the President's desk today.
Well, good news. This was, it's actually, you know, the last time this was done was actually 40 years ago. And one of the crowning achievements that we've seen in our committee on a bipartisan basis is that we worked with the EPA, we worked with the administration, obviously Republicans and Democrats, but it is the first rewrite of chemical safety laws in 40 years. Looking at new requirements, standards for animal testing, I mean, a whole number. I mean, this is a pretty thoughtful bill, and we passed it with 400 votes, the final package, a week or so ago. Senate passed it by, I want to say, a voice vote last week. Of course, for a bill to become law, the Speaker then signs the approved bills, then the President pro tem of the Senate before it goes to the President. I was with Speaker Paul Ryan yesterday when he signed it, and it'll be signed by the President probably early next week. But it's a great achievement and shows what happens when we can work together. It's going to help business and industry, obviously help consumers, and at the end of the day, we're going to have a much safer United States of America.
One other thing, dealing with your committee, you are the chairman, of course, of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Fred Upton. Mental health legislation be voted on by your committee tomorrow.
Well, again, this is a big issue that we care a lot about. And we've had, I want to say, dozens of hearings over the last couple of months, but we really shake up the mental health front. We work with our state and local folks. This is a big issue as you talk to anyone about mental health legislation. We're going to try to be removing barriers to care, overseeing how grant dollars are spent for every single state. It is a bipartisan effort. We start that process in the full committee today, and I expect literally by this almost at this point tomorrow, we're going to have a bipartisan bill that may get more than 50 votes in our committee. And is slated for the floor for action in the next couple months. We're hoping that we, too, can get this bill to the President, work very closely with the administration on this. Senate is right behind us. And at the end of the day, I think we can have a pretty good, careful, thoughtful bill that changes the course and helps those needing help on the mental health side.
And what does the bill involve?
Well, it's going to involve state training grants, a higher level of activity by the Department of HHS in terms of a new department overseeing this. It's overseeing literally billions of dollars, and to be able to do this in a thoughtful, constructive way, it's good news. We've been working on this for many months.
70th birthday for Donald Trump today. He is the presumptive Republican nominee, Fred, and we're seeing now maybe some fraying of his campaign. He's he's pulling the credentials out of the Washington Post now because of things they did or retracted, whatever. He's got to watch what he's doing now, I'm afraid, because it's no longer just the primaries. It's the general election coming up, and he's going to be the standard bearer. He's got to take a lot more arrows than he might be used to or wanting to take.
Well, as you talk to my constituents, and I was at a coffee shop yesterday morning before I left, and, you listen and you read my mail and listen and talk to a lot of different people, it seems like both presumptive nominees, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are exceeding 50% in terms of the disapproval rate. There are not a lot of happy campers on either side of the aisle, I think, as it relates to their nominee. And, for me, and people know that I've always been pretty independent, not been afraid to support president one way or the other based on party affiliation. We decided some time ago not to endorse any of this. Remember, we had 17 Republican candidates that ran, but I'm going to stay in my lane. There's a lot of things that folks are not happy about with either of these two candidates. We're running our own race, and don't look for me to endorse anyone in this race probably the rest of the year.
Really? Wow. I mean, I just find that interesting, and I think that a lot of people are feeling that way. His manager, campaign manager Donald Trump, says that it's possible that he can win in the state of Michigan, which no Republican has done since 1988. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the polls show. I think that he can win in Michigan. And as you said, the first time since 1988, we got a long way to go, but it seems to a lot of us that the train is off the track. So we'll see if he's able to put it back on the track. I don't know, but it not a lot of happy campers in terms of how this race is proceeding so far.
Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime. I really, really haven't, and it's very confusing for first-time voters. My daughters will be voting for the first time in their life in November, and like I told you, they wanted to write Mickey Mouse's name in because
the problem is that Mickey Mouse has to register.
Well, you said that. I told them that, by the way. I said Fred Upton said this, but it's just a very confusing time for voters. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know. It wouldn't go over very well in my household either.
Hey, by the way, congratulations. You've been named one of the top 25 hardest working members of Congress.
Well, it's always that's a nice thing. I'm humbled by it. It's always nice when it's an independent group versus somebody else. But it's we try to. I'm blessed with a great staff, both home and back in D.C. as well. You couldn't possibly do this without some of the brightest men and women that work for me, not only in the committee but on my personal office. We've got a lot of balls in the air, and we're trying to keep them all in the air and not let them bounce. But it's it's an honor for me to represent the 730,000 people that I do, and we're going to keep hitting it out of the ballpark the best that we can.
It's been a wide-ranging conversation, Fred Upton, as we do very often. We talk about a lot of things going on in Washington and in the nation. We certainly appreciate you spending time with us every Tuesday morning to talk about some of the issues of the day. Unfortunately, due to your travel situation, you won't be able to be with us next week, but I look forward to chatting with you in a couple of weeks, Fred Upton, and hopefully all will be well with you and our family and your family in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in Holland Monday morning, so maybe we can actually squeeze in a visit Monday morning.
Ed Verskier and us would be more than happy to have you come on board. Be happy to have you join us.
We'll do what we can do.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Fred Upton, on 1450 WHTC. That's our Tuesday morning conversation with Fred Upton.